Welcome to the Morning Ritual Podcast, meditations and conversations to set the tone for your day. I'm your host, Lily Balch, and today's episode is super exciting, a little bit different than usual. I've got two of my girlfriends on the show, so we've gone from morning ritual to more of a morning show. No, but anyways, I have Charlene and Shruti, and they are actually tuning in from the studio in London. How are you, ladies?
I'm good. Yeah, it's very warm in London today. So, but yeah, good.
Hi, Lily. We miss you.
Yes.
Oh, I miss you guys. So I'm currently in Florida, so I'm saying good morning, but it's actually afternoon in London, and I've been in Florida for a few weeks processing my UK visa. So the girls are holding down the fort over at the studio in London. I can't wait to be back with them. Oh my goodness. But to give the listener a little bit of backstory of how we all know each other, because I haven't shared this story actually that much. I definitely haven't shared it on the podcast. But the way that Charlene and I met and started working together is so cool. So I thought I would start by kind of sharing that as the intro. And then we can just dive into some nice conversation. But let's like flash back to October 2021. I moved from New York to London, not knowing a soul in London, but needing to switch it up. And so I found this place, which you like 10 years ago was a yoga studio, and got converted to a residential space. And I moved in there and sort of made it like a work-live space. So I was filming my yoga content, doing my podcast, living there, and just really taking 6 months to try London on for size. And during this time, so I started to host yoga classes and dinners in my home, kind of as a way to just meet people in my world. And through the Morning Ritual podcast, I had a discovery call with this lovely lady named Marta. I hope Marta's listening. So Marta and I had this discovery call, just wanting to work together. And Marta mentioned that she lived in London. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm having a sound bath and curry night. Like, why don't you come through? We can meet in person, join the sound bath, and we can chat after class or after the event. And she was like, okay, I'll see what I can do. Sure enough, Marta shows up to the sound bath with like 10 friends, Charlene being one of them, and they all work together in this world of production. And that was just so cool. And like Charlene ended up sticking around after, and we were chit-chatting, and she's like, I love what you're doing. If you ever do any other sound baths or classes, like, I'm a sound healer, I'd love to, you know, just be a part of this. Charlene, you had just moved back to London, right?
Yeah. So not long back in London from Surrey. And yeah, just wanting to reconnect with people. And yeah, it was just like, I came in and it was just so funny because I was late, couldn't find the place, and then it was raining, and then I ended up being upstairs with you, didn't I? Instead of sort of like being downstairs.
I know, which is crazy.
So it was me and my boyfriend and just Charlene.
And Ray as well,
and Ray,
right?
Another yoga teacher.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So basically we hit it off right away. Life went on. I realized, okay, I love London. I want to stay. And like, let's flash forward to almost a year ago, October 2023. I had made the decision to convert my home into an actual yoga studio, which is what it used to be 10 years ago. And I did not want to do it alone. So I just called on Charlene and said, this is what I'm doing. And I need help. Is this something you'd be interested in joining?
Yeah. And it was so funny because at the time I was like trying to transition through from like video stuff to more of the sound hill. And I'm like, how am I going to like link the two together? How am I going to make this work? And it just didn't make sense. I was like, maybe if I just do reception for a little bit in a yoga studio or something, you know? And then it was like, hey, do you want to do this? And I was like, yeah. I do.
I was like, do you want to manage this entire studio and like start this business with me? So we got going. We opened up in January, and it's been such a dream working alongside you and getting to know you like as a friend. I mean, it started on a more professional note, but it's been so cool to work with you as a friend and learn so much from you. And yeah, the collaborative process has been so cool to witness. And then we have Shruti, who came to us. So we do. So Charlene and I do, because Charlene's a sound healer, which we'll get into in a moment. And I'm a yoga teacher, for those of you who don't know. Just kidding, I say it all the time. But anyways, I do teach a yoga class, and Charlene does live sound healing. And then she ends the class with a 15-minute sound bath. And it's like my dream class. And I absolutely love teaching it. And Shruti came one Sunday morning and joined the class and just stuck around after and was like, I teach yoga, I'm a massage therapist, I do retreats, I do the, and we all just like hit it off, right? Isn't that the first time we met?
It is in January, and I didn't realize you'd never know from the outside that you both hadn't known each other that long. So that's news to me.
Oh,
You feel like you'd both go way back.
right.
Our souls do.
Oh, our
Oh,
souls for sure do.
God.
So then I like shortly after it was like, Shruti, love for you to teach at the studio. And then we've been getting to know each other and now working together. It's been such a cool process. And that's just the backstory of how we know each other. Shruti, you've had so much experience in the world of retreats. And I'm curious what inspired you to get into it as a facilitator, but also just like what was your first experience on retreat?
I have, I'd say my retreat career, if you can call it that, started in 2010, so 14 years ago. And a heartwarming story, I would say. My mother had just passed away in May, and I was going to my local gym, which was by my office in the city. And one evening, there was a lovely lady, Lisa, we're still in touch, who at the end of class, as yoga teachers do, said, "Hey, I'm running a yoga retreat. It's in a month's time. Here's the details. We'd love you to come." And something kind of connected in my mind. So I, just kind of had a look and I thought, I want to go. I've never been on a yoga retreat before. I've been practicing yoga, with my mum since I was 9 years old and regularly in London since 2001, 2002. And so I just felt the call to go. And I think at the time, so we're talking 2010, retreats were not a thing like now. They're big business actually, and there's you have so many different kinds, weekends abroad, even day retreats in studios. It's really beautiful to see the industry bloom. But so my first experience was then, and I can just still remember the overwhelming sense of feeling in the right place and having a space to feel nurtured in order to process at the time what was quite new grief. And after that really transformational experience, which helped me so much, I really started to see the benefits of retreating more often and quite actively sought out weeks away or weekends, doing things with organizations like the Art of Living. I did a Zen Buddhist silent retreat for 5 days. Really explored what it meant to retreat. And then fast track now 2020, I've completed my teacher training, was invited to work as a retreat teacher and the in-house massage therapist for a beautiful retreat in the southwest of France, where I spent, I think, 16 weeks in total, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. Really beautiful to think of how it helped me on my healing journey, I suppose, but also now having the opportunity to hold space for other people. It's a real gift. And I think for anyone giving themselves that time to be able to just take a pause, slow down, it really, there are so many beautiful things that come out of doing that.
Absolutely. I mean, life can be so go, go, go. And if you're anything like me, I said, like you say yes to so many things and fill our plate, so to speak. And we need time to like digest life, even if it's not something as painful and intense as grief, even if it's an exciting opportunity or a new relationship, we do need to take time to process. And I like to think of it like food. And in Ayurveda, they say we should have our belly 2/3 full after we eat and have 1/3 empty to help the digestion process. That's actually no different than our experiences. If we're filling our plates all the time and constantly eating, quote unquote, it's really hard to process, digest, and integrate what's going on. So I remember the first time I went on retreat. Oh my gosh. One of my teachers, Dana Slamp, who I've had on the podcast, she says, you know, the body is a self-healing organism, but all healing begins in rest. And when I gave myself, I did a digital detox on my first retreat where I didn't look at my phone for a week. And when I gave myself the opportunity to not be on the phone or the computer or technology, not work, not do anything for a week except for like eat gorgeous foods and sleep and move my body and swim and be in nature, I've never felt so good in my life. And so after that experience, I'm like, okay, I want to retreat every year, and then I want to share this experience with other people.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that, or something that popped in my head earlier today, was that every single modality, if we look at it, all says stop and pause. Like everything is like, because, you know, even with sound, like we put all the sound in, we do all this, you know, the singing bowls, and then it's the silence where it marinates. So it's that part where the magic happens, in the silence. So it's not necessarily, obviously, that's, we're putting in the sound as such, but it's the silence where it marinates.
It's kind of that rest and digest.
Yeah.
The
body can't enter into its the parasympathetic nervous system unless we do slow things down. So
I mean, and sound is insane. Sound healing is insane, the way that it works.
Charlene.
And I'm still getting to know it, but like, Charlene, what was the start of your journey with sound and sound healing?
Well, it probably started at a really, really young age of me telling stories with music and my keyboard. And I think it was like always what I retreated and listen to music, like that was my thing. I used to either be singing or dancing or doing something. It was always to do with music. And then I think I came away from music for a couple of years, but I had been singing and doing music since I was like 18, in and out of bands. And then it wasn't until I sort of like came away from it and then went back and then went into sound healing. It was sound healing with a voice. My friend basically signed up for this course and she thought it was like a sound bar facilitating, which is slightly different to what I do. I do also do that, but what I trained in was with the voice, where you tone and use the voice for healing. And she was like, I don't need to be here. You need to be here, because she knows I wanted to. And I wasn't sure how music and sound and singing was going to find me again. I knew it was, but I wasn't sure. It was kind of a little bit like, oh, I don't know, because of the industry and stuff. And so I started doing this course and it just opened up everything. And I just felt like I came back home and it was just the most amazing experience. I was like, oh, okay. And then it also made sense, like how I got through, you know, being a teenager, that there was a lot of losses in my family. How I managed to sort of get through that was through singing and sound and making music and playing. Looking back, it's like, oh, that's what grounded me. And that's how I express and move my emotions. And I think there was a period of time where I didn't do it as much. And now I'm like, oh my God, it's vital that everyone does it. It's also, you know, like I realize how important it is for me to be able to do that, to actually process my emotions, because that's how I learned how to do it as a child. And so I want to be able to share that with people.
It's like an art, isn't it? It's an art, in fact. And when I hear you play it, it's art to me. And it is that processing of emotion and trauma, whether you're the recipient or perhaps even for you, that kind of create how we feel when we dance or paint or move. It's kind of, and then the two together are just really wow. I mean, that first class I came to with you, Lily, teaching, and Charlene playing all the instruments and the sound of it, and then when you sang,
I know. I mean, it helps that Charlene sounds like a literal angel. Like,
I mean, my every hair was
sounding. When I think of sound healing with the voice, well, two things come to mind. Is like, maybe this is an obvious question, but do you find there's more therapeutic benefits from actually sounding, encouraging people to use their voice and say like tone, make sounds, ah and om? Or do you think that people laying in sort of shavasana, listening to you sing, also has that quality of moving energy? How does that work?
Yeah, I think they both have the same thing. It's the same as, but then I suppose if you, thinking about it, if like, if you were going to have a massage with someone, they can sort of get into those spots that you can't get into, but you can give yourself a massage. But I think with the voice, it's a tool that we all have, and so we don't need to play any instruments, and we don't even, you know, it's not even about singing. It's about, we can send intentional sounds. So they say sound plus intention equals healing. So we have a painful knee, and if we like and we hum and we send that vibration with the intention of moving any stale or stagnant energy or whatever, that, you know, to heal that area, then it will.
Wow.
You know? And so it's using that sound intentionally.
Can I vouch for that, by the way?
Yeah.
Because Charlene gave me my first one-to-one sonic healing.
So, yeah, sonic massage.
Sonic massage.
That's what I'm going to call it.
Yeah. Therapy. And I've got 6 pins and a metal plate in my right leg. So I am permanently in a little discomfort on my right side, which then manifests in my left side hip. And when I arrived for my sound healing, I don't know, must have had some stuff going on, but it was kind of here and my throat. and I'm laughing because of what happened was kind of freaky. But the next day, we might come on to that in a moment, I could walk without any pain. Normally there's a stiffness, you know, physios will say to you, give marks out of 10 for pain. And normally there's like, it's like a, you know, there's normally 3, 4 out of 10 pain. I was walking, my gait was completely balanced.
That's amazing.
And yeah, wow, it's magic.
Yeah, but it's us, isn't it? So it's our, so the theory or the science of sound, or our body wants to be in tune. Our body wants to be in harmony, and it knows its own codes and its own frequencies. It's just life gets us out of those frequencies. And so it's just, I would be like, la, and then your body's like, oh yeah, it's la. And then it entrains to that tone because it knows what it needs to be.
Okay, I've got a question. So I actually think my husband would be okay with it, but like, it might be a little weird if I just start awing and oming at home. And like, what advice would you give somebody who's like, I've got roommates, I've got family, I'm a little like shy to sing and hum and aw and om at home? Is there another way to get this healing, sound healing with the voice?
Yeah, I mean, you can go with the practitioner like myself and experience it. Or, you know, like I would say that there's certain things you can do. You can have like, you can find a track, like a nice meditation track. So you've got a little bit of ambient music, and then you can hum, and then you won't feel as exposed. That's always a nice thing, because you don't necessarily need to hear it, because you can actually even think. But obviously, it's nice to actually voice it. But you can actually think of the note and the frequency, and really? Also send that there. Yeah.
What about beej mantras? You know,
beej mantras. Yeah. That's the seed sounds.
Yeah.
So I think singing, even if you sung with a track, you know, or something that's in the background to give, I think that's normally like oh, if there's no music and then my housemates are going to hear me, I think it's putting it up a little bit louder. And then as long as you're making that sound, like, it's fine.
But I'd imagine after a while you just wouldn't care.
It's that's all it is.
Yeah, you're like, I'm going to...
The more you do it, the more you do it. And then I think, you know, when you start noticing the difference, then you're like, screw it, I'm going to do it. Oh, that rhyme.
Yeah. Well, this is one of the things I miss about living outside of a city is driving and driving by myself and playing music and singing. And it's such a cathartic experience. And kind of similar to what you were saying, Charlene, as a little girl, you would sing and you'd write songs and you'd perform as a way to like process life and move through healing. Like I was very similar with dance. Dance was my everything. And I would every day be making up a dance in my room and performing it to my family. And if I was feeling like a little emotional as a teenager, like I would just dance in my tiny little bedroom. And then it's always been such a way for me to process emotions. And like, luckily I've been able to dance and perform a lot through my adult life, but there's nothing like going out and just going out dancing to loud music, dark room. Like I love it because that feeling is cathartic and you feel like, you know, it doesn't matter what you look like. It's all about what you feel like. And I want to do that with my voice as well and start bringing that sense of expression. Because I can imagine it translates into being able to like speak your truth in everyday life. Like if you get comfortable with using your voice, I can imagine you can start to speak up for yourself. And as women, I mean, that's something I've struggled with through my 20s and being able to speak up for what I want, for what I need. It can be so hard. So do you find that there's like a relationship there?
It's a huge relationship. And I've like had these like clarity moments because I think I take it for granted because I've been playing music and been in and out of bands all my life. And you've been around music a lot as well, haven't you, as a kid?
Yeah, my grandfather was a music composer in Bollywood and my uncles are as well. Yeah, so we'd go to the Sony Music studio in Mumbai and there'd be like, you know, 100 orchestra musicians and one of my uncles will conduct and the other one is involved in all the techie stuff. Obviously they don't do that anymore now, it's all recorded at home and digitalized, but yeah, just being around music, my mum, like we've always played music really loudly, and even just on the kind of mantra the kind of humming at home point you made, Lily, for a couple of years. It was after I broke my leg, actually. One of my aunts and my whole family on that side are Nichiren Buddhists. One of the main elements of practicing Nichiren Buddhism is to chant Nam-myoho-renge-kyo, repetitively as a way to find clarity. And there were people that I used to meet. I'd go to sort of meetings in South London and people that would chant for 2 hours a day or 3 hours a day. And I actually did practice it for a couple of years at a transitional point in my life. I'd broken my leg. I was going to change jobs. Do I not? And in the end, I ended up studying a master's because I had the strength to do it.
Mm.
I don't practice that anymore, but I also feel a sense of power. You know, if we chant om at the end of class or beginning of class or Ashtanga yoga, you have the Ashtanga opening sequence, or even if you go to a kirtan, the way that you feel afterwards, you just feel so alive using your voice. So there's so many different ways that one could
That's the thing, is like with the mantras, it's like you basically, I always sort of see it, you're giving, oh, here's some words, brain. You just say those, and then that's when it can open up. So you're just giving your brain something to do. So if people, that's one of the things, is that if people are struggling with, like, I need to sit down and I need to meditate, there's so many other ways of meditating. It's not going to happen. Or if you're, like, so, like, oh, my brain is, like, you know, like, everyone always thinks that they don't need to have any thoughts, but this is a really lovely way of sort of giving your brain something to do, and you don't actually have those thoughts at all because your brain's saying those words, you know what I mean, over and over again, which is great.
I'm kind of thinking of something else also. I have a feeling that this activity might help you to chill like meditation does. I don't know if you can see
got one.
The plants around.
and how you look after, how you tend to plants.
Oh, how I tend to plants.
Wow. It's like watching a meditation master at work. And I've been doing it at home. I've been speaking to my plants.
I just ask them. I ask them where they want to go, where they want to sit. You know,
I asked you one day, didn't I? I was like, how do you know where to put them?
And I was like, I asked them. I was like, you asked them.
Oh, yeah. Charlene has full communication with these plants. But it does remind me of, like, you know, we can, coming back to like the morning ritual, and this is a meditation podcast and making mindfulness accessible to everybody and making it really like simple, is we can bring that level of presence and mindfulness, care and attention to anything we do. And this is something I had a really lazy Sunday yesterday. Oh my gosh. And I really desperately tried to not look at technology. And I was like, what if I tried to just everything that I was doing, what if I just be there and just do that? So beach walk, just be on my beach. Don't listen to a podcast, text my friend, call my mom while I'm on this walk. Just walk. Just eat. Just water the plants. I ended up cleaning this entire house. Look, just clean. And it's just got kind of going back to the like retreat idea. It's like when you give yourself that space and time to just focus on that one thing without the pressure of life, it makes things so much more enjoyable. When I watch you water these plants, you're just watering the plants.
Yes. Well, it's also something about being in nature. That, you know, getting your hands dirty in earth is very grounding.
It's funny because I don't see myself like that at all, no. I mean, I would see my mum and she'd like pick something off and she goes, oh, I'll grow that, and sticks it in the earth and the tree grows. She's a witch.
Wow.
But she's magical.
I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
It runs in the family. Wait, Shruti, I'm curious. You said, I know this is from the beginning of our conversation, but you did a 5-day silent retreat.
Yes. Yeah.
Can you tell us how that was?
Well, I want to do that.
I did 2, actually, and I'm slightly, they weren't actually completely silent because I haven't done Vipassana, but the first one was a Zen Buddhist retreat, which now you both know me a little bit would kind of make sense in terms of how the story went. But I was due to arrive on the Friday, and there was loads of traffic around Hammersmith. So I had to call the venue and be like, I can't get through London. Is it okay to come tomorrow? And they're like, well, the retreat starts today, but okay, fine, come tomorrow. And it was in the north of London. And I arrived a day late, like, hi, everyone, jazz hands. And everyone was ignoring me. And I was like, whoa, what's going on? Like, no one would even make eye contact. And it was and it was tea break. So everyone was drinking tea and eating biscuits. And I was like, hello. Anyway, the Zen Buddhist monk kind of took me to one side and was like, so welcome. I was like, thanks. So with silence, we've entered into silence already. And silence also means no non-verbal communication. Oh. So that's why no one is saying hi to you back, because they're in silence and they won't be out of silence now till Monday or Tuesday, whenever it was that I left. I was like, oh, okay, I got it. And I was sharing a room with a lovely lady, and every day we had to start the day and we would sit for 7 to 8 hours. We had to sit opposite each other and we had one question, which I now understand is very Zen Buddhist vibes, on a board. Mm. And it just said, who am I? And so you had to, there was a bell. And so whether it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes, you had to tell the other person, you just had to answer that question. That was all you had to do for,
who am I?
3 to 4 days.
That's a pretty deep question.
Yeah. And the idea was once you felt that you'd answered that enough, I don't know how enough was defined because I didn't arrive on the first day. So lesson learnt. the Buddhist monk gave a second question. Most people stayed on the first question, who am I? But my kind of racing along, I sort of started answering the second question and the third question.
Wait, what were the second and third questions?
I can't even remember. It was like, why am I here? I think, why am I here? Yeah, and so I remember the Zen Buddhist monk having a bit of a word with me, and then I think I was kind of demoted back to question number one.
But by like, rein her in. a whirlwind has just come through the door.
Oh gosh. But it was tough. I mean that in itself was tough. The second one, which was really full of joy, was practicing meditation and silence at home. So it was with the Art of Living Foundation, Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, and it was actually organised in their centre in Waterloo. And the idea was for those 5 days, you kind of got all the supplies that you needed at home. Same principle, you did your best not to make contact, communication, verbal, non-verbal, with anybody on your travels to the centre. And I can't begin to explain to you the learning around enjoying silence when I got home. And I do know this of sort of, friends and some loved ones in my life that struggle a bit with their own being on their own. And I love it. And silence as part of life. And actually, if I don't get, and teaching yoga, we're talking a lot if we're teaching many classes a day. And so just that opportunity to kind of retract and feel happy not having the expectation to speak is really powerful part of my practice, I would say. And even having been on retreats where we decide to hold silence until after yoga, for example, or there's an invitation for an hour to sit before yoga. So many different, you can kind of, many different ways to incorporate silence into life.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I like driving sometimes just with no music on. Mm. Like, it sounds like, wow, that's wacky, Charlene. That's not that crazy. But I don't think many people probably do that. But I'm like, I'm intentionally turning off the music.
I like that.
And now I'm just going to drive. And I mean like a long drive, like 2 hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 2-3 hours. Mm. So let's see if I can.
Yeah, me too. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I went to yoga this morning, which is like a 5-minute drive away. But after, I was like, I'm not going to turn on my phone. I'm not going to turn on the radio. My windows are going to go down. And I just drove home, and it allowed me to take the practice, that sweaty hot yoga class I just did, and take it with me and continue home, and then try to bring that into this conversation and, like, let it be an extension. Because, yeah, I can be such a distracted gal. And as soon as I turn the radio on, the music, da, 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 then the energy just shifts.
I think we all are. I mean, there's so much. It's so busy. I think, it's one of the things that I really learned last year. Had some health issues and just sort of like, there's lots of good intentions and lots of good stuff out there, but it's just so much. And it's just like, don't do this, do this, don't do that, do this. And I'm like, I don't even know where to start.
You have to withdraw.
Yeah, so I literally was like, I'm saying no to everything.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be with me and be silent.
Yeah, I love
and
that.
Then I will know. Because then I can hear what my body and what I want to do. Mm. And that was the case. Then I could actually hear what my soul, what my heart was wanting. And the same as what my body needed. And I think, over the past 5 years, it's been interesting because it's been that slow down. I am slowed down. Yeah. And it's like, no, you're not. It's like, it's that relax, isn't it? It's like, I am relaxed. And they're like, this is relaxed.
Yeah,
and you're like,
Oh. Yeah. Even more. Go even deeper.
Oh, I didn't know that I was holding that much tension. Had no idea, And I think when we do go and have those retreats, it's like, even if it's like a one day, that's fantastic. But having a bit of a longer break, you're only going to start like towards the mid of that holiday. If you think about when you go on holiday, like that you could start denoising.
Yeah, you arrive on a holiday, you're still thinking about what was going on at home. And then you have 2 days and then you're in your zone and then you're like, and then you can start to think about the future and that process to be able to do it in a calm, secluded place where you don't have to think about anything.
And like creativity, all of these beautiful things that you want in your life, because that's the thing. It doesn't have to be that you have to go and retreat because it's, there's hard things that are going on. It's just literally like, you could be having these wonderful, amazing things happening in your life, but you're like still a little bit overwhelmed.
And you're like, I know that sometimes happens for me with this beautiful journey that we're on at the moment with this. And I'm like, oh my God, there's so many things. What do I do? And I'm like, okay, just stop one thing at a time. Okay. And to have that space on a retreat, I took myself away. And there was like a little bluebell forest. And it was just wonderful. It's just like a little caravan. I went off for a week and I just looked at the stars and listened to the birds. And that was basically it. And then it's like, okay, it's a reset. And then I was like, okay, I could see all the possibilities. And all these beautiful, more creative stuff kind of came in. And I knew what I needed to do next. And I think it's that as well. Because we can't get creative unless we make space. And we have to slow down. And that's like when I worked for this company, and they're like, brought me in to help people with creativity. And I'm like, this is impossible, because you actually need to give them space and you're just going, need it now. And I'm like, there's no space. But in giving it space, you would be more productive. And I was like, it's like, can you not see? You know, like to actually coming down.
I know, you have to like experience it, I think, because I always want to bite off more than I can chew. I get super enthusiastic. I can say yes, yes, yes. And then there's things that have forced me to stop, whether it's illness or injury or like a big loss or whatever it is. And in those moments of stopping and forced rest in a way, that's when my most like creative ideas have come up. That's where this podcast was formed. It was like March 2020, lost all my work as a dancer, was in New York City, literally filling my days. 7 a.m. I was working with a client. 9 to 6 p.m. I was in the dance studio rehearsing. 6:30 to 7:30 I was teaching a group class at a yoga studio. I was finally home by 8 to then go have a social life and go out and like go dancing and then do it all. Like my life was so full. March 2020, COVID hit. And then I like zipped down to my childhood home in Florida, like retreated back to the womb and just stopped. And that's when I got the idea to do the morning ritual. And this has been such an amazing, it gives back to me all the time, the more that I give to this show. It's like so such a cool experience. And the same goes for the studio. In these moments of rest and spaciousness is where I've had these ideas and had this energy and had the energy to actually make these ideas come to life. And so I have to remind myself of that in little ways all the time. And anyways, this brings me to, I want to talk about your retreat. So Shruti and Charlene are hosting a retreat in mid-September in the south of France. What is this retreat going to be all about? What can we expect from this experience?
A beautiful journey through the senses. Mm. So everything we've talked about, in a way, nature, sound healing, yoga, taking a bit of time out, a moment of pause. I also retrained as a massage therapist just after lockdown. So everyone gets the opportunity to have a massage and then a beautiful sonic
massage
healing massage with Charlene.
Yeah.
We talked about sound healing in the pool with Lilo's. That's going to be amazing. The highlight.
Yeah.
So Lilo, I've never heard the word Lilo before moving to England, but it's just like a pool floaty.
Yeah, a pool floaty. That doesn't sound good in England. That sounds like something you should avoid.
We hope there won't be any pool floaties in the pool or by the pool.
Why? What is a floaty? You guys, this is going over my American head. What's a floaty?
We'll leave that to English listeners.
Let's say it's to do with poor digestion, in which that won't be an issue.
Yeah. So I couldn't help myself. So that's going to be magical. Yeah.
And we're working with a gorgeous, gorgeous chef, Nikki Morali, who is, she's out there at the moment, she's out in Kerala, and she's got a beautiful little space called Picnic Table. And she's been making food for Soul and Surf Yoga for the last year or so. She's an amazing veggie retreat chef. She's super creative. She'll never repeat the same dish twice. So normally we'll go on the before guests arrive to the local sort of places. There's also a kind of organic farm shop, and Nikki will source produce. And last time we were there, we kind of had a colour theme. So nice. Every day we ate according to the chakras. So red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, I think blueberries. Yeah.
Love it.
So whether we do something similar-ish or mix it up, have a lot of rainbow food in the diet, you know, so much research around eating 30 plants and veg a week.
For your microbiome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just encourage guests to get, to your point, Lily, about finding that creative spark. Yeah, you know, I did a course last year with the Flow Research Collective, and it was all about finding your state of flow. So, you know, we need to consciously think about how we can change the brainwaves from fight or flight to arrive into rest and digest, and all these sort of practices that we'll be
humming being sharing. One of them.
Yeah. Mm. All these practices that we'll share will encourage people to maybe find that little spark. So yeah, a lot of laughs.
Yeah, I want lots of laughs. That's important.
Definitely sign me up for the laughs. Yeah. Well, ladies, I'm gonna put all that information in the show notes below for our listeners. If you're listening and you're like, oh, I could use a little retreat in France, and you're curious to learn more, there's a link to have just like a quick free discovery call to talk to Shruti and Charlene and just learn more about availability and logistics. So I'll include that as well. And this has been so much fun. Thank you guys for coming on the show. Any last words before we depart?
Come back. I miss you.
I know. Let's all, I hope that this UK visa comes through ASAP, because I am very ready to get back to London. And as a listener, if you're based in the UK, if you have friends in London, send them to the space. You can go take class with Shruti. You could take class with Charlene. There's sound baths, yoga, Pilates, yoga and sound. It's we're still a pretty new studio. I mean, we opened in January, so our community is forming, but I think it's feeling really exciting. So check it out. You know what? I'm going to give a little code, two codes. So one is for those listening who want to check out the studio and want a free class, the code for a free class is just The Morning Ritual, all capital letters, The Morning Ritual. And then for the retreat, I think you ladies said £100 off for a Morning Ritual listener. Is that true?
That is indeed.
With pleasure.
Amazing. So we'll do code TMR, capital T, capital M, capital R, as the code, and you'll get £100 off the retreat. So I'll include those in the show notes below. And if you enjoy The Morning Ritual, be sure to subscribe, leave a review. This is a free resource. It'll always be a free resource. And so helping to spread the word would be incredible. And we'll end the episode the way that we always do, with just a full breath in and a full breath out. And have a beautiful day. Thank you so much, Shruti. Thank you, Charlene.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lily.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.